What time is it? It's Packard Folks at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardFolksAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Folks at and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Folks at, and I'm poking at your news.
Hello, everybody. This is Packard Folks at the Midweek Show. This is episode 428. Along with me today is Connie Practical Magic 9.
Hello.
And Tom Lead, your friendly neighborhood atheist.
Hey, that's me.
Yeah. No, that's a fan that's in your window.
Truth in advertising.
Yeah. So, Connie, what story have you got for us today?
Oh, so many. Faith-based store company is closing its 240 stores in America. This is from the Freethinker, but I've also found it on Theos.
A faith-based store is closing their doors? Oh, I'm hoping it's the one that's invaded my town.
Invaded. In 2015, Family Christian, a chain of stores selling books and tacky religious gifts, went bust, leaving creditors out of pocket to the tune of millions of dollars. But a Michigan judge in granting the company a Chapter 11 bankruptcy sale allowed the business to carry on trading. But God's plan, as it turned out, was to put Family Christian out of business once and for all. This week, Family Christian announced it will close all of its stores after 85 years in business.
Wow. 85 years is bullshit.
Yeah. And like I said, I found this article a couple of different places. And what was interesting was an op-ed piece on Theos was actually written by a Christian who had worked a part-time job. And he said, you know, this was the place that I went to go get, you know, music and books and things. He grew up Baptist, and it was a safe place, quote unquote, right? Because everything's approved. Heaven forbid you walk into a regular bookstore and you might encounter ungodly books.
You mean ones like with facts in them?
Or you have that challenge faith, you know, something by Hitchens or Dawkins. Yeah.
Oh, can't have that.
Yeah, you can't have that.
No. Just can't have that.
You know, and actually the op-ed piece, which again, that's not the one I'm looking at right now, but the op-ed piece that he was writing, he said, yeah, they were open on Sundays. And he said, you know, on Christmas Eve, everybody else is closed. Even Starbucks was closed, but Family Christian Bookstore was open at past like 8 o'clock. You know, you got to make that last Bible buy, I guess, you know.
See that the hundreds of shoppers are out looking for a Bible at the very last minute, just before before New Year's Eve or Christmas or whatever.
Yeah, I know. And even as a Christian, I was really
I can't understand why they're going out of business. They're obviously doing everything all right.
Oh, they're doing it right, all right. They're marking it up, and the crap costs so much.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy. And I always think about the money changers in the temple. I go, Jesus would have come in here and pitched a fit, I think. Oh, yeah. But, you know.
You know what they should have been selling is there's this product that looks like Mary, you know, or Jesus or something, and you turn around, it's actually a dildo.
Now, okay. Actually, this other I should have picked the op-ed piece because I think that also had links to these dildos. I was like, wait, what are you at least it wasn't, he says, at least they're not selling this. And I was like, what is this? And I clicked the hyperlink and go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then.
Well.
You know what that is, huh? So. You know, and they're trying to blame online shopping, which again, it is kind of the death knell of a lot of bookstores.
Yeah.
It has been that, but I just go, no, you know what? I think that you were a dinosaur before bookstores started going out of style, but you know, the insular nature of religion, you know, they like to have their own little niche where they can only find their VeggieTales and their Bibles and, you know, their apologetics books. So
to be honest, when I was still a Christian, and this was a number of years ago, somebody had given me a Bible, and we went to one of these Christian bookstores. My mother took me one, and we had actually or she had actually bought me a Bible cover so I could zip it up and everything. So I could look I still have it. I still have the Bible. I have the cover and the whole nine yards. It's sitting in some box of mine someplace, but I still got it.
Yeah.
My oldest, she's like, I want that. Okay. You can have it. You can have the Bible, the whole, and the thing there too. And the thing was, I think the Bible that they gave me was one that, you know, like a probably 10,000 people had already hacked or coughed on at one point because it was, you know, a church Bible. So this is here. Okay. All right. I got a got my King James sitting someplace, but I'm more of a digital guy now. I don't carry it around with me. So, but I got it.
I wasn't aware that the bookstores were 85 years old. I don't know where they started, but
Well, at least they're going out of business.
Another dinosaur. Yeah. Although there still are. I mean, I'm sure there's still other. Chain out there, but
Most likely the Christian stores are like cockroaches. You scurry around under the darkness and the corners of the house, and then you just when you think that they're gone, 10,000 more pop up somewhere else. So
nowadays you probably go to the foyer of your mega church and
find
a store. I don't know, I haven't darkened the door of a church.
Well, some of those megachurches are putting McDonald's and Subway restaurants in them too.
Don't get me started on Subway. They put
McDonald's in the Vatican.
you're not joking, are you?
No, I'm not. They did.
So God wanted to have it His way.
Yes.
Oh, that's Burger King. No, Burger King. Sorry. God didn't want the competition of Burger King, so He went with the clown. Because nothing's creepier than clowns and priests. I don't know.
Right.
Well, they thought the Pope looked like a clown, so they wanted to get a real clown in there so people can make a proper comparison.
It's the shoes, right? Oh,
God. That's because Benedict
went. Y'all float down here, Georgie.
Tom, what do you got for us for today?
Well,
I'm a fan.
I had one thing, which was the not the winner for the best parent of the year award goes to a mom who gets 50 years in prison for poisoning her son with cold medicine, and then puts the kid in the car and lights the car on fire.
What? All right, wait.
In an attempt to hide the body.
Wow. Oh, the kid was already
Maryland
dead.
Yeah.
Wow.
A Maryland mother had been arrested and sentenced 50 years in prison for fatally poisoning her 5-year-old with cold medicine and then setting a car on fire with the body inside to cover it up.
That's horrible.
Does not get the good housekeeping approval.
No good housekeeping seal of approval for her.
Okay, where did this happen and what was her reasoning? Assuming there is any.
In Maryland.
Maryland?
Maryland.
Oh, God.
I thought you said Maryland. I wasn't sure. It went out a little bit.
It was sick, I guess.
You ever heard of Munchausen syndrome?
Keep your kids sick so you can keep taking care of them.
Yeah,
that's different than killing them. That's
Bet you that's probably not what her intention was. She probably was just wanted to keep the kid sick, so you know the kid would want to be taken care of all the time. Maybe I don't know.
Apparently, the kid had a close relationship with the father, and she was jealous.
That's different then. That's a story altogether. My kid don't like me, and you can't have it either.
Yeah, pretty much.
People like that are fucking annoying.
So she was jealous of the relationship that the kid had with the father, so she wanted the dad back, or she didn't want the kid to go to the dad?
I think she didn't want the dad to have anything. She went to take it all away.
I'm so... Oh, my God.
Late term abortion, by the way. I'm just saying.
That's awful. But the story
I wanted was in Siberia, there's a crater called the Hellmouth Crater.
Yes.
That's been revealed because of the permafrost. be melted.
Neat.
Of course, everyone looking at the silver linings, like, oh, now we can see what climate change is really doing now that climate change has done all this damage. Wow. It's revealing layers of permafrost so they can see how climate has changed over the eons. And I guess it's uncovered a bunch of animal carcasses. So there's just another case of just rampant global warming going, people, oh, that's interesting. But there's no global warming. This is just, you know, look, this happens all the time.
Yeah, we had nearly 50 degree temperatures yesterday. And today we have temperatures of 24 and a freaking snowstorm.
Yeah, for tomorrow.
No, today. That's today. That's what we're having today. We started out with like 40, 50, almost 50 degree temperatures yesterday. And then in the evening went into rain and then the snow. And now we've had a fucking snowstorm here.
It was 70 degrees last week.
I know. Yeah. It was almost 50 here, or in the 50s anyway.
Anyways, I like this story because there's a guy I talk to on Twitter all the time who claims that hell is the reason for global warming. The hell is coming to the surface, and I guess this crater proves it. Of course, he also believes that the sun revolves around the earth, so I don't know how credible he is.
I would say not credible.
Well, you could string him along, I guess it'd be trolling, and suggest that maybe the sun's getting close to earth. That's why it's causing it.
So to his credit, he doesn't think the earth is flat.
No,
it's 6,000 years old, but it's not flat. It boggles my mind, these people who believe these crazy, crazy things, and then they laugh at other people who believe at different crazy, crazy things.
Yeah, that's just
like you're laughing at him for thinking the earth is flat and you think the sun revolves around us. It's the same crazy nonsense.
I watched the show The Path on Hulu, and it's all about a cult, and there's this FBI guy who is infiltrating them, and he's trying to, because they think that there's some wrongdoing within the group. And the FBI guy just went to report to his upper, you know, one of his coworkers back at the office. And he said, yeah, they believe all kinds of, you know, strange stuff. He says, sort of like my sister-in-law who believes that a virgin gave birth to a boy. And then his coworker says, yeah, but that really happened. Huh. And I love the look on the FBI agent's face. He just sort of looks at him like, what kind of stupid, you're a special kind of stupid. And it's just this moment that's really beautifully, you know, scripted and acted out. Cause I'm like, oh yes, yes. So it just depends on, you know, everybody, I guess most people think that they're branded. Crazy isn't all that crazy, you know. It's
like I heard the best joke today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Religion is like a fart. Everybody thinks theirs doesn't stink.
That's great. That's great. I heard something on the, I was listening to the Atheist Experience this morning. At least I was listening to it from this last Sunday, and I started listening to it the other day and I didn't get a chance to finish it. And I just got a chance to finish it this morning. And the, there was this one, somebody had called in and they said they have this new hashtag or that they came up with. It's called Christ-ISIS. So, you know, because you post like these Christians that are like dominionist, you put hashtag it Christ-ISIS. So
we should never be afraid to examine the things we think about, though, you know,
no.
and put them under the scrutiny of, and I'm not talking about that, but I mean, just in general, I, you know, that Christ ISIS, this sounds like I'll have some Christ ISIS with, you know, with a side order of fries.
I think it should be a new habit instead of talking to people about their religion to only talk to people about other people's religions.
Oh, now that
conversation and say, that's what I think of yours.
Yep.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting.
Yes.
That kind of, all right. I'll talk to you about that at the staff meeting because I have an idea for a fourth show.
I got ideas.
I has ideas.
While we are poking at your news, you can poke us at Facebook and Twitter or poke us with an email at ppapodcast@gmail.com. Or leave us a message at 662-709-PPAP. Join us live on YouTube/PackardPokesAt on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. Be part of the conversation by live chatting with us during the show. Enjoy the show Help support us by becoming a monthly patron at patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. Or look awesome by buying something at cafepress.com/PackardPokeSat. No money, no problem. You can help us by sharing the show with friends and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.
Wait a minute. No wardrobe? You mean we're going to be naked while we do this?
Well, seeing how I'm an atheist and I'm reading the Bible, and since clothes are flammable,
fire, fire, fire,
I thought it might be a good idea to take them all off first.
Naked or not, follow along as we read, analyze, and try to keep you from falling asleep as we go through this boring-ass book.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. Who knows? We may even be on YouTube someday. Anyway, I saw this on my phone this morning. Oh, by the way, I got it back yesterday, so I was only without it for about 24 hours. It was almost the worst hell I ever had. So
withdrawals. Packard was shivering in a corner.
It was.
It was rocking back and forth.
It was a lonely because my phone is my friend. Anyway. Which kind of goes into the story. Facebook is leverages an artificial intelligence for suicide prevention. Vain and manufacturers are online personas can be. I'm a manufactured version of my own self here. Facebook is still a popular avenue for venting and rambling about day-to-day struggles. Facebook recognizes this and now working on ways to help troubled users with the use of artificial intelligence and pattern recognition, in addition to expanded suicide prevention tools. So the new tool, which is similar to what Facebook launched back in 2015, which allows friends to flag troubling images or status posts, now the feature is available on Facebook Live with the goal of connecting users with a mental health expert in real time. If Facebook believes a report, a live streamer may be needed help, that they will receive notifications for suicide prevention resources while they're still on the air. So if I, like, say I get on the air and I say, I gotta kill myself because my dog shit in my shoe and I have no more shoes. So they will get somebody online and say, hey, look, we'll clean out the shoe and we'll help you out of this. So, but apparently the person who reported the video will also get resources to personally reach out and help their friend if they wish to identify themselves, because they have his or herself. I'm going to say themselves. Shortens up the sentence there, guys. Learn how to write. Facebook is partnering with organizations like a National Suicide Prevention Hotline, Lifeline, the National Eating Disorder Association, and the Crisis Text Line. So when users post or flag, they have an opt to speak to someone. They can connect to someone via Messenger, which is kind of cool. There's more to this, but I won't go more to it. Let's talk about that a little bit more.
Is this an algorithm thing within Facebook, or is this people calling, noticing something and alerting Facebook?
Well, that's what it was originally. Was people had to alert Facebook. They had to identify when someone was going, if someone was suicidal, they would say, hey, this person is a suicidal. So they flag it and say, hey, get this guy some help. But what's happened here is that they are using artificial intelligence to identify probably certain speech patterns or things like that.
Where's the article from?
It's from The Verge, verge.com.
Okay.
I apologize. I can't put it in the chat window because my computer is like a slow. So I can't put it in the chat window, unfortunately. But
that's fine. I'm finding it. Okay.
I think this is a good. I think I like this. I like this. The fact is that we are relying more and more on technology. And my being without my phone for about 24 hours kind of puts the pin in it for me. I mean,
but what gets me about this is, what if Facebook was better at recognizing potential suicide than human beings? Is that possible? If it's something that you're, it's noticing certain words and cues, because, let's face it, a lot of a lot of our interactions with people have way more to do with the physical cues we get by looking at somebody. It's what's wrong. It's what's usually wrong with texting or comment sections, is that, you know, you don't have other markers for you to understand if something is sarcastic or whatever, you know.
Right.
I'm just, yeah. So I was just, I'm on that web page here, and I was just curious. Look, I'm going to look it up. Or
now, you know,
oh, there it is. No, there it is right there. I found it.
Okay. No, I was going to say, you know what this reminds me of? There was a TV show. It came to an end a couple of years ago. It was called, not Missing Person? What the hell was that one? Person of Interest. And that that was basically the main premise of the idea. Was this guy, his name is Harold. He basically creates a artificial intelligence robot that's online. It's supposed to be, the government's supposed to buy it from him, but well, there's a lot of story. Look it up. It's a good show. I liked it anyway. What it does was it would pick out patterns of what people were doing. And then when they would do certain things, then it would try to put it together. Like, so this person is planning to hurt somebody else, or they're going to be the victim, or they were going to be the perpetrator or whatever. But it was done in a convoluted manner where they didn't know until they actually got it there down in the streets and figured things out, and they were out there with the person, or they would watch him or whatever for a short time and figure out if they were the perpetrator or they were the victim or potential victim anyway. So, but I think that this kind of smacks of that, to be honest, a little bit, because the fact is that the computer is taking over those particular things, and you kind of put a pin on there, Connie, where it, you know, the computer is better at this than, or it might be better at it at some point than human beings.
Right.
Like I was saying about the fact that I was missing my phone. I was actually a little depressed because I didn't have my phone. All I had was a little spare thing. And that was unsatisfying. It was like a bad Snickers bar. It was unsatisfying.
Well, no, I laugh, but at the same time, about a year ago, I had a problem with my original email address. It got hacked, and I wound up through, you know, a couple months later, I was locked out of Facebook, and I was locked out of Facebook for, about a week. And I had a lot of anxiety about that because I realized, oh my goodness, I interact with so many people on Facebook. I missed that. I've always said that I kind of wish the internet had been around when I was a very young mom, because I was a stay-at-home mom and there weren't a lot of other stay-at-home moms, and it was very lonely. And I would have loved to have been able to, you know, chat with people, you know, still do my day-to-day job, but, you know, that connection. People say you don't connect. I'm going, guess what? People used to write letters, and you considered that to be connecting. So anyway, I laugh, but yeah, I get that, because I like being connected this way. It's very practical, and people can connect with you when they have time, you know?
Oh yeah.
I think it's a weird comparison. We're a lot more connected, but we're also in many ways a lot more isolated. We're connected. Yes. We talk to people all over the world, but we talk to them virtually. We don't talk to them in person. We no longer talk to our neighbors. We no longer talk to, people face to face.
I talk to my neighbor face to face occasionally.
I accept that, actually, yes. And if you have social anxiety, which honestly I really do, obviously, you know, I guess this is actually feeding into it, because I don't have to confront people face to face, because I would probably not do as well.
I totally understand that. I totally understand that. I get into certain situations and I just want to go, where's the off button for this person? Where do I hit the mute button?
Well, I think it's isolating because people can hide behind an avatar. They don't have to expose themselves at all. So they feel free to say whatever they damn well please without a thought in their head, which most of them, that's generally how they converse with you, is without thinking.
Expose themselves
in the real world. Well, I hold myself accountable to what I say to people.
Yeah, no,
I put my face on it, and I don't hide behind anything. So, you know, I try not to say anything that I wouldn't want my daughter to see, or that I'd be embarrassed for other people to see. But most people can hide behind their avatar, and they say crazy shit. And I think they've lost touch with how to deal with people in a real way.
Yeah.
Well, when I first deconverted, I kind of had to hide behind an avatar because I wasn't ready to come out. And then there's the other thing that I don't think that I'm God's gift to mankind for how a woman should look. I don't think I'm that attractive. And so I have for myself, it's like, yeah, I'm not that proud of how I look. So, I can understand why you say that though, because I'm sorry, I'm trying to make myself this special snowflake here. But I guess I just say that because for myself, my avatars are not me trying to hide to do something nefarious. And but again, there's a lot of people out there who do that. And that was a real shock for me, because I'm like, look, I just can't come. I wasn't fully coming out, and I just became comfortable with having something else up there. But yeah, you're right. I mean, people hide behind this kind of crap all the time. And I don't understand. I'm sorry, I don't have a place in my brain for that. Yeah. I don't understand why people do it. I don't see why we should, you know, but play John Lennon's
most violence. And I think the guy who hit the Nazi.
Yes.
Yeah, the guy that hit the Nazi. I remember hearing about that. I think
most violence is triggered by people who don't think they have any responsibility. The guy who hit the Nazi a couple weeks ago, he and his group, they were basically masked. So he didn't know who they were. I don't even want to say he sucker punched him. He sucker.
How is that okay?
It's not okay. But I think a lot of people, they give it a pass because one, he didn't do any real damage. And because the guy felt, hey, nobody knows who I am. I could do anything. So there's no repercussions.
Yeah. No.
The guy who knocked him to the curb and actually injured him, they would have tracked him down and had some responsibility.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, I don't agree with punching this guy.
No. Because
he has freedom of speech. As much as I don't like Nazis, and I'm not going to, you know, stand up for them in any other way, other than the fact that they have the same freedom of speech that we do.
Yes.
And the fact is,
I think you should give him a hug.
You know what? Who's going to change somebody's point of view? Is it the sun or is it the wind? Right? I mean, and besides,
buddy, you just need a hug. You don't feel bad feeling. Come here, bring on in. I'll give you a hug. You make you feel better. You won't have all this hate inside you.
Yeah, you know, this actually goes to my larger point, is the fact is that because this guy got punched, it made a bigger spectacle of what his message was. I mean, if he had not been punched at all, this guy would have just disappeared into the nether and, you know, never been heard of. It was like, except for in his circles where they all do the little circle jerk going.
My mom and my dad always said that, you know, don't sink to a bully's level because then you're no different than them. I mean, I think that's a gem of a gem of wisdom that's been around for a long time. And I'm just like, you know what? The minute you go resort to violence, unless you're defending yourself, you lose the fight.
Yeah.
There's nothing left. You had nothing to say. So you just went to physical violence.
Right. I sometimes joke about when I talk to people online, whatever, there's this one conversation that I had blocked this one guy. And there's another guy that he's an atheist. He was going back and forth with him, and I had blocked him, but I was like still monitoring the conversation a little bit. And because I blocked him because he's a fucking moron, and I just didn't want to deal with him anymore. But I asked him if the situation was getting any worse and if I should continue building my lightsaber for him. Wow. But I mean, it's funny because the fact is that lightsabers don't exist. If I had said, if I'm going to hand you my handgun, that would have been a whole different conversation. But lightsabers don't exist. It's it's like George Carlin would say, you know, it's if you're going to construct it, it's anything can be funny. It's all a matter of how you construct the joke. And
yeah.
I was just saying, if I put it to such an extreme, the fact is that he's not getting a lightsaber to do this because lightsabers don't exist. If I said, here, do you want me to hand you a tank? I mean, I don't have a tank. I don't have an aircraft carrier to shoot the guy with. If I said, here, do you want me to hand you an aircraft carrier or something like that?
Yeah, let me just drop one on your lap.
I'll send you one in the mail.
Wait, you're telling me that...
It's an absurd...
You're telling me that the lightsabers at Walmart aren't real?
No, I'm afraid not.
God damn it. Okay. Well, I feel better about giving my grandkids one now.
Okay,
Use it only for good.
Yeah. The cheap ones are like $10, and they're like I looked at them. They have like there's like green, red, and blue, and I looked at it real carefully, and they're just a string of LEDs up inside there, up and down the shaft of it now.
Oh, you spoil it for everybody, Packard.
I'm sorry. Those are the cheapo lightsabers. Those are the
Force be with us.
Those aren't the lightsabers. Those are just the El Cheapos. See, when you go, you take that up with this, somebody who actually has a lightsaber, they just cut you right in two, you know.
I know. So. those Jedi assholes, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Those Jedi assholes.
High and mighty religious thing like that. Tards, right?
Yeah.
do not. There is no try.
Right. We'll be back on Friday with our regular longer show. Good night for the midweek show.
Good night.
That's all, folks.
That's all, folks.
And that's a wrap.